Hello, welcome in to Tony Broom Ministries. Whether you're joining us on the blogging podcast page or the YouTube channel, glad to have you along to listen to this teaching session from Revelation chapter 1. The title is The Glorified Christ. Some people think that the book of the Revelation is something you shouldn't talk about. But I'm glad that we can talk about it, feel good about it, feel comfortable with it. And we're talking about the glorified Christ. This is Revelation chapter 1. The glorified Christ has all authority. Jesus Christ, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. That's what he told the disciples. Go into all the world and teach all nations. Make disciples of all people. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe the things I've commanded you. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And they needed to know that authority was back of what they were doing. Because if you don't know that authority is back of what you're doing, you're going to start doubting and you'll cave in. Military, we're talking about military. You have to know that what you do in the military, you're backed up. You have authority that's behind you, backing up what you're doing. And when we preach the gospel, we teach the word of God, we have to know that we have authority with us. Not just our authority, but it's the authority of Jesus Christ. All power, exousia, it means authority, is given to me in heaven and in earth. Our golden text is Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. This says that he is the one who lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Praise God, he does live. I am he who lives and was dead. He acknowledged the fact that he's the same one who was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. This authority, Christ of authority and power, is the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. It's been given to him, and not just when he rose from the dead, but he had all the power on earth. He had power to forgive sins. He had power to heal sickness. He had power to raise the dead. And now he's glorified Christ, the glorified Christ, the Christ of glory. And he appears there and he tells John, and he tells us too, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He had power and authority to not only to live on this earth, but he had power and authority to allow himself to be put to death. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So he has power to not only lay down his life, but he has power to take it again. If you might say it like this, he raised his own self from the dead. It is God did through the Holy Spirit. Jesus has power to be raised again. And he raised himself from the dead. The power of God did. I am he who lives, was dead. Now I'm alive forevermore, never die again, have the keys of hell and of death. The first part of chapter 1, the book of the Revelation, talks about John's vision. And if you were to have your Sunday School quarterly, this would not be in the printed text, but it's important if we just read through it and at least talk about it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a book out named The God Who Hides Himself. Well, if you take your Bible and you turn to the book of Jude, and you look at the book of Jude and don't read it, just look at it. If you turn to the next page, it will tell you that God does not hide himself. You turn over a page and it says the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not the revelation of John, even though John was the human author. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The unveiling of Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ that God sent to him and gave to him. God gave this revelation to Jesus Christ. It was like God is saying, Son, I want you to reveal yourself to this world. And I want you to do it through a latter-day prophetic book. I want you to do it through this revelation. And so God gives him the revelation to present by the angel and to his servants. He gave it to his servant John. He sent and signified it. He put his signature on it, signified it by his angel unto his servant John to show unto us things which must shortly come to pass. It might seem like that sin is winning and wickedness is getting by, people just doing what they want to do, but they don't realize how close at hand the things of God and the fulfillment of everything is. People say, are all these things happening? Is this the end of the world? We don't need to worry about it being the end of the world. We need to think about it being the end of this age. Don't worry about the end of the world. Worry about the end of your life. What about the end of America? You know that America is not mentioned as a nation in Bible prophecy? Well, you might say, well, what in the world will happen to America? I used to think that it would have to be a judgment of God, that God would have to send down judgment from the sky and he would punish America or decide to do away with America. I'm not saying that he will. I'm just saying I used to think that way, that that would be the way that America would have to be destroyed. But as we live in our lifetime and see the destruction from the inner core, it's falling apart, not at the seams. It's falling apart from the inside. It's just decaying from the inside. You take a tree and it looks good, but on the inner core, that tree will start to disintegrate, and before long it will rot and it will just tumble over. And that's the way that our nation is doing. We are eroding, brothers and sisters, more than just from the seams. We are self-destructing. And if we continue on the course that we're going as a nation, I'm mighty afraid that God won't have to judge America. I've heard preachers say God will have to judge America. No, God doesn't have to do it. All he has to do is just let us keep on doing the way we're doing, make our own evil, dumb, stupid choices. And if we do not turn back as a nation, I know there are righteous people in America. There are people who love God in America. But as a nation, if we don't turn back to God, we will self-destruct from the inside. We will come loose from the inner core, just like the nation of Rome did. They just basically self-destructed. And that's the way that America is headed. If we don't get a hold of ourselves and get a hold of the spiritual values. So these things are shortly coming to pass. He bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. It's closer than people think. And Revelation, oh, that's spooky. Ooh, that's scary. No, it's not. For those in the church, he sent, the angel sent and gave this to John to show those things in the churches, those things which must shortly come to pass. And he says that there's a blessing. Even if you just read it, even if you don't understand all of it, and who does understand all of it, by the way, right? But even if you read it, blessed is he who reads and they who keep the things that are in the prophecy of this book. Well, how do you keep it? Well, you observe it. You go by it. The way that you don't keep it, how do you not keep it? Oh, I don't believe that old stuff. That's just a bunch of hocus pocus. That's just a bunch of illustrations and allusions, and you've got similitudes. There are similitudes and things in the book of the Revelation, but it's always talking about Christ. If we were to go through the book of the Revelation And all we get out of it is beasts and dragons and all this images. That would be such a disappointment. It's always focused on Christ, even when it's not directly talking about Him. It's always focused on Him. It's always focusing on revealing the Christ. Blessed is he who reads, they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. You got a blessing of God upon you today just by listening to the Word of God. And every time you read the Word of God, and in the book of the Revelation in particular, you have a blessing of God upon you. The time is at hand. Jesus said more than one time in this book, "Behold, I come quickly." John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come. Now that's God in all the tenses. He's a God of the past, the God of the present, the God of the future. He's a God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now there's only one Holy Spirit, but seven is God's number of completion. And this is the seven manifold Spirit of God that we have such a wonderful comforter. Some preachers have gone back into Isaiah chapter 11, where the root comes out in the stem of Jesse, and it talks about the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, and they go through that and try to make that match Christ and do a pretty good job of it, but you don't even have to do that. It's just saying his complete, wonderful spirit that we know before his throne, and now he's sent to us on the day of Pentecost, and he lives in our heart, our life. From Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Jesus Christ, he is a faithful witness. He stands faithful. When others fall apart and others disappoint you, Jesus Christ is a faithful witness. He's always with us and he's always there. The faithful witness and the prince of the kings of the earth. He's the ruler, the main ruler. And he's the first begotten of the dead. There have been those who have been raised from the dead, those who have been restored to life. But Jesus is the first one who is resurrected and glorified. He is the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And the last part of verse 5, such a wonderful and lovely verse, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That's who we're talking about. That's who the book is about. That's who the Bible's about. That's what the church should be about. That's who this is dedicated to. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Thank God for the blood. The blood, the cleansing, sin cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. It makes the vilest sinner clean, washes you from your sins and sanctifies you and gives you a holy heart. The blood of Jesus Christ is his own blood, not someone else's blood, but he washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I believe in the priesthood of the believer, and he's made us kings and priests unto our God, and we're functioning in that now, and we'll absolutely be more so in days to come. He's made us kings and priests unto our God. We're king's kids and we're princes and princesses of the Most High God. To him is glory forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. This is a foretaste of the coming of Jesus Christ, not the rapture, but when he comes to earth again. He comes with clouds. Every eye will see him. Those who also which pierced him, and they will bewail him. Israel will realize this is our Messiah. This is the one that we rejected. This is the one that we said, let his blood be on us and on our children. And they have suffered tremendously because of it. They rejected Christ, and they will bewail because of him. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And there it is again, God, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's the God of the past, the God of the present, the God of the future. I'm he who was, who is, and who is to come, the Almighty God. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm your brother in tribulation, and not the tribulation period. He's not talking about the tribulation period. He's talking about tribulation that all of us are having. And you know that we're having tribulation right now. We're not in the tribulation period, but we're having tribulation. Even the church is experiencing tribulation now as never before. I thought when the church was not able to be together, you wouldn't have no more trouble. But it seemed like some churches have more trouble now when you ain't together than it is when you are. Somehow or another, the devil keeps causing trouble. We ain't even meeting in a building. He still causes trouble. But Jesus is coming. He said, I'm the one who called. I'm the one who is the Word of God. I'm the one who's faithful and true. I'm Alpha and Omega, beginning and ending, first and last. John said, I was in the Isle of Patmos. I was there for the Word of God. I was there to receive this special revelation of Jesus Christ, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, the Message Bible says Sunday, and of course, is talking much more about than I was in the Spirit on Sunday. He was talking about, I'm seeing the day of the Lord. I'm seeing the day, the coming of the Lord, the judgment of the Lord. I'm seeing these things in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And so Alpha and Omega, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. So if I'm Alpha and Omega, first and last, beginning and ending, he's everything. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And he names the churches, to Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And all the churches are mentioned here, and John sees this vision. The glory of Christ is presented in verses 12 through 16. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. Now, he didn't say, I turned to see the person who spoke to me. He said, I turned to see the voice of him who was talking to me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. King James says candlesticks or lampstands. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He is a Son of Man. He's a Son of God, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. John the Revelator, the song said, saw Jerusalem coming down. John the Revelator, and when he looked around, he saw feet like brass, eyes like fire, heard a great voice saying, come up higher. John the Revelator talked about the city of God. That's what he talked about, and that's what he saw, and that's who he saw. This one who is walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And that's what Jesus is doing today. He's walking in the midst of the churches. And this book that John is told to write, I want you to write it in a book and don't send it to the governor. Don't send it to the president. Don't send it to the heathen people out here somewhere. I want you to send it to the churches. If there's anybody that should be talking about the book of the Revelation, it's the churches, not the heathen people in the world trying to figure out what's going on, but it should be the churches. We are to be talking about the book of the Revelation because this is the time in which we are living. He had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Stars being the angels of the churches, the sharp two-edged sword is the Word of God. His countenance as the sun shines in his strength, and we see the glory of Christ. His face shines as bright as the sun. No one like him, nobody in heaven and earth, nobody could even look upon him and live and to see his face. We'll be able to do that one of these days, to look upon the face of the glorified Son of God. We'll have no impediment. We'll have no blockage. We'll have nothing to keep us. If we were to even attempt to do so now, we would be consumed away in the glory and brightness. Our bodies could not take it, but once we receive that body likened to his glorious body, we'll be able to look upon his face. Authority of the risen Christ. And this is verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. John had eaten with him. He had fellowshipped with him. He had walked with him and talked with him. He leaned on his breast at supper time and put his head on the breast of the Son of God there in that tender moment. But now he sees the Christ of glory, the glorified Christ, and he sees the eyes like fire. He sees the feet like brass. He sees the garment down to the foot. He sees the hair as white as snow and the glistening much more than the transfiguration. They saw a little bit of it on the Mount of Transfiguration. Now they see Christ in his full glory. And he said, I fell at his feet as dead. No more shaking hands, no more hugging necks. I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. Don't be afraid, John. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Jesus has the keys of hell. He has the keys of death. That tells me he can open it. He can shut it. He can lock it. He can unlock it. He's the one who has all power, the one who has all authority. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are. We're in the things which are right now, and we're near the end of that are. I really believe that, brothers and sisters. We're getting closer and closer every day. The old song says, we're one day closer home now than we were yesterday. And we're definitely closer. Each day is one day closer. The things which you've seen, past tense. The things which are, present tense. And the things which shall be hereafter. Metatauta. I used to hear a Bible teacher, and he kept saying, Metatauta. And I'm saying, I know this man's not a Pentecostal. I know he's not speaking in tongues. What in the world is he doing? He kept saying, Metatauta, Metatauta. And he said, this is after these things, after these things. And if you look it up in the Greek, of course, that's what it says, Metatauta. It's important for us to remember that, because the book of the Revelation is not just one big picture and then you go back and pick up the parts and put it all together. It's chronological. It happens one after the other. And if it's any different, most of the time you're told this is happening the same time this is happening. I want you to write the things that you've seen. I want you to write the things that are, and I want you to write the things that are metatauta, the things that are hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Somebody said this is the pastors of the churches. Well, I ain't seen no pastor yet who's an angel, but I do believe he's talking about the ministers, the messengers of the churches, and it's certainly talking about the pastor of the church. We ought to be careful, brothers and sisters, when we go against the pastor that God has put in the church. It doesn't mean that the pastor can't do wrong. It doesn't mean that some pastors do not do wrong. And God deals with them, and sometimes the church has to deal with them about it. But we ought to be careful when you go against God's man. David was already anointed king. God had already put his anointing on him. But David said, I will not go against the Lord's anointed. I will not touch King Saul. God will deal with him. But as for me, my hand will not be upon him. That's the attitude that you and I need to take when it comes to God's man and God's woman. That we should pray for them and we should uphold them. Don't hold them in evil. Don't uphold their evil, but we should pray for them, just like our president, just like our leaders. We do not uphold their evil, and we do not condone what they're doing and going against God, but we pray for them, no matter who they are, no matter what they say they believe, we still are to pray for them. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Not only are the churches, and seven is God's number, not only represents those seven churches, but it represents all the churches of all time, from the beginning of the day of Pentecost until the rapture takes place. It represents these churches. And the seven churches represents all the churches, and there are characteristics of these churches just about in every church. You can find characteristics of all these churches. Some are more and some are less in some churches, but all of these churches, some of them are the dead church, some of them are the first left their love church, some of them are the church that was lukewarm, and you can find these characteristics in the churches. But not only do the churches have pastors, but the churches have angels who watch over the church. When you go against God's church, you have an angel to answer to as well as to God himself. Jesus said, I'll build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. God said, I want to walk in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks, and I want to be there. And if you will not let me be there, I'll have to remove your lampstand out of its place. We do not want that to happen, brothers and sisters. And we can't say, well, we got a good church, we got a big church, we got a church with a lot of money. That cannot happen to me. Well, it has happened to churches, it has happened to nations, as we've seen. The great, powerful empire of Rome has fallen, and many churches have fallen because they have left their first love and gotten away from God. And the same thing can happen to you and I as an individual and as a church if we get away from God. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. He reveals it in the church. He reveals it through the angels. He reveals it through the prophet. And he reveals it to you and I today. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to have this word to share with your people. What a wonderful, glorified Christ you are. We bless your name and we love you and we give you praise because you are wonderful. You are high and holy and lifted up in all the earth. That's who you are. And we praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You have been listening to a Bible teaching session from Revelation chapter 1. The title has been The Glorified Christ. Make sure that glorified Christ, Jesus Christ, is your Savior, and you have made him your Lord. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.